Bienvenidos. It's Thirsty Thursday. That's the thing, Thirsty Thursdays.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it's because people start their weekends on Thursday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people start drinking. People go out more on really? Thursdays. I think. I don't know. I could be making it up, but I've heard Thirsty Thursdays before.
I thought that was for thirst traps.
I mean, whatever. Thirst traps. Go out, drink, thirst. Oh. On a thirst trap. Yeah. Greetings. Hello, strangers. Hello, world. I am Brit.
And I'm Dee.
And if you're still with us, welcome to another episode of
It's a Strange World After All. My stomach was growling.
Child, I'm sitting here like, did I eat enough of my little grilled chicken? Emphasis on grilled chicken.
I hope it didn't pick that up.
We gonna make it through, low blood sugar and all. We gonna get through.
So I meant to tell you this before, because we was talking about TikTok earlier. So about a month ago, I woke up and I had like brown spots like all over my hand. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is that? And then it went away like a few hours later, but then I had took a nap and I woke up, it was back. So I saw this TikTok yesterday, some random TikTok. This woman was like, hey, can anybody explain this? She was like, I went to sleep and I woke up and her pinky was brown. And I was like, that's the same thing that happened to me. So I was reading her comments and people were like, congratulations on the marriage. And I was like, what?
What?
All the comments. And I was like, that's like, oh, looks like somebody just got married. And she was like, what are y'all talking about? I'm not married. It was like, yes, you are. And I was like, wait, what? So now I'm getting scared. So then they said it means like if you wake up and you have like brown spots. Mm-hmm. In some cultures, it means that you married a jinn in your sleep. And I was like,
wait, what's a jinn again? I know what it is. They did it on Evil.
They did it on Supernatural too. It's kind of sure like did. A genie, but not yes. really. Yeah. It's like a, it's different in different cultures, but mostly they're like genies, but they're not good. And I was like, I know I did not.
A rare race of supernatural cave dwelling hermits that have the power to produce powerful hallucinations inside the minds of humans.
That's what they do on Supernatural. Like they'll have you somewhere like draining you of like your blood or whatever, but in your mind, you're living in like your perfect world. That's how I said I know I didn't marry one because my life is not perfect.
No, but what if your dreams are perfect? My dreams have been really vivid lately.
I haven't really had any dreams lately. But yeah, that was just weird to me because everybody was saying it. And then, of course, I think it just means like low iron.
Probably.
But like in certain liver cultures, spots. that's what it means. It ain't liver spots.
Because
it was on this part of my hand.
No, I know. Yeah, maybe they could technically. I don't know. I'm going to have to look into that. Because if they control dreams, then I feel like, because my dreams, I be eating and stuff. And I was like, I ain't never ate in my dreams. I've never eaten in my dream and was able to taste it. I got mad the other day because I woke up and I was eating chicken nachos. And I was like, oh my God, those nachos were so good. And I haven't even been taking valerian root. Oh, did I say it right this time?
What did you say?
Valerian root.
Yeah.
First time. Yes, I haven't even. They just been vivid. Like I could feel everything. I was like, ooh, not unless this the last thing we gonna get serious, y'all. I mean, we are serious. We gonna get into this, you know, today's episode. I haven't even done the introduction, but I watched Behind Her Eyes. I haven't finished it. The show that's on Netflix. You obviously haven't watched it yet with the black chick, mm-mm. And then she messing with the psychiatrist and then his wife befriends her and she cheating with the husband.
That. Yeah, I haven't seen that though.
Okay, they talk about The Shine in there as well, like Stephen King's The Shining, The Shine. And she's having night terrors and she teaches her how to control her dreams to where lucid it's almost dream. Like, yeah, where it's almost like a different realm though. Like it's almost like she's physically in that room. And I was like, I wonder if I have the shine. like low key, because I feel like I've gotten good at controlling my dreams to a certain extent, and they're so vivid.
Yeah, you should, because that's what lucid dreaming is. You should look into that.
I should, because that one lady, she got to the point to where she could actually spy on people. So she would sleep, but be able to, I forgot what you call it, like dream walkers. Is that what you call? Well, no, because those, they walk in other people's dreams, huh?
Yeah, but in this, I always bring it back to Supernatural, because they did that in Supernatural too.
Yeah. Was it the episode when he was in the hospital? Or that's another episode.
Who was in the hospital?
Dean.
No.
And he, it's like an earlier, oh, okay.
Oh, no, this was with Jack.
Oh.
So you probably haven't even seen it.
I know Jack. I'm there. I'm Jack. I know Jack with this weird looking self. Maybe. We'll see. I'm going to buy a book.
Yeah.
Again, if you're still with us. 12 hours later. The podcast where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories, and all of the things that keep the world strange. And technically, we were still on topic because all of that fit into the show. So we weren't just talking about random stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't fit into this episode, but it fits with our whole thing.
Yes, ma'am.
In honor of Women's History Month, all month long, we will be featuring cases centered around women. In today's episode, we discuss Julie Ray, a woman accused of brutally murdering her 10-year-old son.
This, I'm trying to think of how I can describe, because I watched, maybe it was the 2020 episode. I was halfway paying attention to it. And then as the events unfolded, I was like, what is happening? It felt like a really weird, bizarre, strange whodunit. And I was just like, OMG, what is going on?
I think I saw that, but I watched so much because when you first mentioned it to me, I got it confused with another case. But that case, I believe, is still unsolved. It was like this woman left her, I don't know if she had a son or a daughter, but it was a little kid, left them sleeping while she went to go swim. It was like 2-3 o'clock in the morning in her apartment. So she, and I was like, apartments, they pools don't even be open that late.
It depends on the neighborhood, because some are 24 hours. She could also hop the fence, but why are you going swimming at 2 or 3 in the morning? Yeah.
And then she came back and her kid was gone.
Yeah.
So that's what I thought you were talking about. But then I was like, wait a minute. No, that one was unsolved. So it couldn't have been that one. But yeah, I remember watching something about Julie.
Crazy.
And I was like, what in the world?
Yeah. Strap in. Let's
you
get
already
into
look
it.
Stressed.
I already look stressed. I was just remembering. It was coming back to me, all the emotions that I felt listening to it.
Man.
Yeah. But all right. Joel Kirkpatrick was born to Julie Ray and Lynn Kirkpatrick. The couple married when they were teens and had Joel 11 months later. Julie and Lynn would divorce, and Lynn was given residential custody. So he was living with the dad, Lynn, and Julie had Joel on the weekends.
During the early morning hours of October 13th, 1997, Julie ran to the neighbor's home claiming that Joel was gone. When authorities arrived, they found Joel between the bed and the wall in his bedroom. Okay, trigger warning.
Yes.
We should have did that at the beginning. Disclaimer.
Sorry.
Yeah. He had been stabbed 12 times with a steak knife from the kitchen. Julie told police she was asleep when she heard a scream and she ran down the hall to check on Joel.
She didn't see him, but she did see someone in a ski mask that ran past her trying to escape. Julie said she chased him through the house and the intruder broke through a glass window. They got into a scuffle outside and the man slammed her head into the ground. He stopped, removed his mask, and walked into the woods. So this is the story.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I was first just like, this kind of remind me of a movie. Like, it kind of reminded me of, what's that one movie when that dude was accused of killing his wife, but he was like, no, somebody came in and killed her, that I didn't kill my wife. I don't care. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
What movie is that? Is that,
I can't remember.
Is it The Fugitive?
Yes. That sounds right.
That wasn't even supposed to be funny, but I was.
No. Again, she's not laughing at this. She's laughing
at the.
But even that movie wasn't supposed to be funny.
I know.
The movie.
Yeah, it is. The Fugitive.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I was just like, wait, what?
Yeah. It does, though, because it just sounds, I hate to say it sounds dramatic, but it does.
It does. It's tragic, number one. So, like, let's take a moment. This young boy was stabbed 12 times. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, it's like, what's someone's motive? Why would someone do this? And then you had this huge scuffle and he just got away. Like, I mean,
I guess it would be easy for him to get away because, I mean, he's fighting a woman, so.
No, I was going to say, sorry, the fact that he got away wasn't unbelievable. It was the fact that it happened, sorry, in the first place was just kind of like, whoa.
Yeah, because that is random.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would somebody do that? Julie was taken to the hospital and treated for a black eye, rug burns on her knees, and a wound on her right arm that required stitches. She also had scratches and abrasions on her head, both shoulders, and the tops of her feet. So her injuries are consistent with what she was saying happened to me.
It is. I think to anybody it would be, because I was thinking, and this is the part where I was like, okay, well, this had to have happened, right? Because, yeah, like you said, her wounds are consistent with what she's saying happened. I don't think that this happened with her son. Like, I don't think she got in a fight with her son and then murdered him. You could have done this to yourself to try to clean it up. I feel like in instances where a mom murders their child or children, that it's never like this. I don't think that a mom could do something like this. Not to say that I would put it past them to murder their child, but you know what I mean? I don't know that a mom would have the will to stab their child 12 times.
It just happened to where a woman stabbed her kids. Yeah. But it's crazy because, so it was in Texas. I'm trying to think of where in Texas. So years ago, they're twins, they're identical twins. One of the twins, she stabbed her kids years ago. Mm-hmm. And then just recently, the other twin stabbed her baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, statistically speaking, because even like they've done statistics on trigger warning suicides, the studies that they do are gender based. But like on average, women, when they commit suicide, it usually looks like, like they might take pills or like, you know, it's not something that's usually as violent as like more men tend to do it in a more violent way. So that's what I was thinking, is that even when you are committing such an act against your child, I wouldn't think statistically speaking that it would be as violent as something like this is what I'm saying.
I get what you mean.
Okay, so at Julie's home, there were no signs of forced entry. Julie couldn't even remember if she had locked the back door. So she told police that it was pretty much safe to assume that she had, because it's just her and her son and she typically locks the door. This was also another point in the story where I was just like, well, maybe, I don't know, because like if there are no signs of forced entry, how did this happen? So did she do this? It was like a back and forth for me.
Yeah, but then it's like, do you take her word for it? Because she honestly was like, I can't tell you if I locked the door or not. If there were no signs of forced entry, obviously she didn't lock the door.
Well, maybe, because technically it wouldn't be obvious. It would just be, maybe she, well then yeah too, because she just went through something traumatic. So
wait, what?
She just went through something traumatic. She just found her son
stabbed to death. You saying that's why she couldn't remember?
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
And then it's something so trivial. So like when you talk about like, when they talk about like character witness, or people doing interviews of people and they have to recall events, and it's like going back to like how you always bring up Supernatural. I always bring up Adnan. Going back to that, they couldn't remember the details because it was stuff that they normally do. Like for them, the day was not going to be out of the ordinary. It was just a normal day until boom, this happened.
Yeah. And then like, I know with me, I can't even remember what I did an hour ago.
No.
So I,
especially if it's something that's then, muscle memory, like locking the door.
So then this happens, then you really wouldn't, you know, your brain is not functioning properly.
Right.
Police never dusted Joel's room or the butcher block the knife was pulled from for fingerprints.
Child.
So they already messing up.
No way. I feel like we should just do an episode of just things gone wrong in cases. Like, why didn't you do that?
We could do a season a month. Of that. Man. That's sad, though.
It is. You have one job. Multiple tasks, but one job. Go ahead.
But you're supposed to be trained for this. So,
exactly.
Yeah. Not only that, they failed to preserve critical trace evidence on Joel's bedspread. Instead, they focused on Julie. I mean, I get that in cases like this, the first suspect is always the parent. Just like when somebody's spouse dies, it's always the partner that's the, you know, the first suspect. But you still have to do your job. You still have to dust for fingerprints. You got to look for DNA. You got to do it. You know, you got to do all that. You can't just, it seems like they're like, she did it. Case closed. That's it.
Basically, like it was like, it sounds suspicious. It doesn't sound like.
Yeah.
It didn't look like anybody broke in. So she had to have done it.
Yeah.
That's what I said before. When they have their sights on something, they don't really, like they hyper-focus on what they believe the narrative to be. It almost feels like they don't really even care about the truth. Like they don't really care who did it. You just need to pin it on somebody.
Yeah. Authorities looked for any remnants of blood that she may have tried to wash away using luminol, but nothing was found. So there you go. So they basically had the little spray and the black light and didn't find anything.
The case was at a standstill, but in October 2000, Julie was indicted for murder. Investigators believe that Julie killed her son and there was no intruder. So they believe she made everything up.
Mm-hmm.
When she learned she would be tried for Joel's murder, she was quoted as saying, "Surviving your child's murder only to find out that you are being accused of murdering your child is a kind of trauma that I wouldn't wish on any living being. I wouldn't wish it on a snake."
Julie was convicted of first-degree murder and was given a 65-year sentence in 2002, even though there was only circumstantial evidence.
What happened to guilty beyond a reasonable doubt? Like, yes, this all looks questionable, but like we mentioned earlier, her wounds were consistent with what she said happened. And then whether or not you believed her, there just wasn't. I don't think that any jury should have been like, oh, this is enough evidence for me to think that there's no doubt in my mind that she did this.
Yeah, but and then they were probably looking at it as, even though her injuries backed up what she was saying, they probably looked at it as it was almost too perfect and that she did it herself. Because even though they were consistent with what she said, she still could have done it to herself in their eyes.
That's speculation. That's not, you don't have proof. You have no proof that she made this up. The only thing you could maybe say maybe she hired somebody, but then you wouldn't even have proof of hire. Like you literally have nothing.
Yeah.
Prosecutors had no eyewitnesses, little forensic evidence, and no motive. They relied heavily on a forensic discipline that previously won circumstantial cases before called bloodstain pattern analysis.
So it was kind of new at the time, but they had already one cases with it, even though it could easily be disproven. But it's basically like looking at blood spatter, but it was, I can't remember like how it was different.
Oh, like what the inconsistency was?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I couldn't find anything on that because I looked into it, but it's just basically blood splatter.
Because, yeah, that's what I was saying earlier is that I know that some people's, yeah, like a blood forensic, it's whatever Dexter is. Whatever he is, like he goes in and he looks and he says, okay, this is what happened. And it either fits the narrative or doesn't fit the narrative. So they're saying there was something for them that didn't fit the narrative.
Yeah.
Bloodstain pattern analysis.
So there are different disciplines. So you have forensic anthropology.
What I found was that they did rely heavily on the bloodstain pattern analysis to argue that an intruder never actually came in the night of the crime. I believe it had something to do with like, because she said that they got into like that fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that there wasn't anything that indicated that there was even another person there is what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Well, he didn't leave any DNA because he. Yeah. Yeah. But I was looking into a blood stain pattern analysis, but it's unreliable. They're saying it's unreliable.
Mm.
It says a number of court cases are controversial due to their reliance on blood stain pattern analysis. And it's it says in 2021, the largest to date study on the accuracy of blood pattern analysis was published with results showing that BPA conclusions were often erroneous and often contradicted other analysis. Yeah, like I said, it's not reliable.
Right.
And that's what they based the whole case on was the BPA. Yeah, because they didn't have any kind of evidence.
So again, going back to the fact that it still wasn't enough. Just because you didn't have any DNA evidence, it still wasn't enough to say that she, beyond a reasonable doubt, did this herself.
Yeah.
Julie maintained her innocence the entire time. Going back to the theory, because I thought the theory was that they were either going to go back into another custody battle, like Julie wanted to see her son more. And that it was one of those, like, if I can't have him, nobody can. So that because they were in that custody battle and she didn't want her ex-husband to have him, that she murdered him was like a theory for motive.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess. I mean, it does happen. So
it just seems extreme. That's why I was like, I know I've seen cases where people or even like abusers, like if a man is abusive, like in that one case, not Sins of Our, for that Sins of Our Mother, which that was crazy on Netflix. I Killed My Dad or something like that. I can't think of their names, but the dad had kidnapped the son. Or no, not even kidnapped him. He did at one point, but took him just because he was abusive and he didn't want his wife to have him. Like, I've heard of that. Like, people in the middle of a custody battle and they kidnap their child.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, to kill your child because you didn't want your spouse to have him is pretty, that seems pretty far-fetched.
You're saying for the mom and not the dad.
I mean, even for the dad to do it, because to me, even for the dad to do it is far-fetched. Like, I know that it has happened before, but it's still kind of just like, why didn't you just take him? I'm confused.
Yeah. Yeah. But a lot of these people are not in their right minds.
I guess. If you don't want them, but you just want the mom to hurt, that's kind of messed up.
That I've seen. Because have you heard of, I think the headline was the man who killed his family twice.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Look into that. Because he killed the kids.
How did he do it? Was it like, did he?
He shot them.
Oh, okay. No, one that I saw. I am so bad with names. I wish I could remember his name. But he kidnapped his kids and then he blew up the house that they were in. So he had made a bomb and he blew all of them up.
And was that where the CPS lady was like at the door?
Yes, because she was
I cannot remember telling her name. Yeah.
Yeah, he kept telling her, hold on. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy.
So it does happen. Not, you know, it's sad, but it happens. In 2004, there was a break in the case. Serial killer Tommy Lynn Sales told Illinois investigators that he had broken into a home in 1997. Tommy said he stabbed a boy to death using a knife he pulled from a butcher block in the kitchen and fought with the mother inside and outside the house. So exactly what she said the first time.
Look at God, because what are the odds? And then he didn't even have to say nothing.
He didn't.
At all.
So yeah, that, because I was like, man, because she got 65 years. She would have been, man.
Oh my gosh. And then you've already lost your child.
Yep.
And then you have to sit in prison.
Yep. Pretty much for the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life, because your justice system failed you.
Good old Texas.
I mean, shit. Outside of Texas.
I mean, it's everywhere, but
I was about to say
Texas be tripping.
Texas just be Texasing.
Governor Hot Wheels and I'll be like, man, I ain't even there no more, so.
At the time, Tommy Sales was facing execution in Texas for fatally stabbing a 13-year-old girl. Tommy had also been linked to many other murders of children around the country. That same year, an Illinois appellate court overturned Julie's conviction and ordered a new trial. I just remember thinking, he's out of control. What's out of control?
Oh, Tommy Lynn Sales?
Yes.
He was just... Man, him and what's the black one? Oh man, what's his name?
Child murders or no? Oh, good.
Black dude. He was a serial killer, but he was just killing people all over. Smalls, what's his last name? Ugh, this is gonna bug me because there was even a documentary about him. It was like a
really
docuseries.
Where was it? Where did it happen?
Everywhere.
He was everywhere. Like,
yes. Samuel Little.
I was just about to say, was it Samuel Little? I had just pulled it up on my phone.
It says, he is known for being the most prolific serial killer in United States history by his number of confirmed victims.
60 confirmed.
93 suspected.
Mm-hmm.
So he was... It was California, Texas, and Ohio.
Oh, okay. All in the span, though, from 1970 to 2005.
Yeah.
How did you just go undetected like
possible
that?
Possible 1960 to 2012.
Jeez Louise, that's crazy.
Yeah, that is. Julie was tried again in 2006, and this time she was found not guilty. Julie was officially exonerated in 2010. In the years after her release, Julie struggled with PTSD, which I'm sure, yeah, sure she does, because that is a lot to go through.
Mm-hmm.
November 29th, 2010, Julie was granted a certificate of innocence and was awarded $87,057. They could have gave her more than that from the Illinois Court of Claims.
They definitely.
Yeah. I mean, like I always say, you can't put a price on stuff like that, but.
No, but.
You can, but you can't, if that makes sense.
I mean, she got less than what we just talked about, my Treese Richardson's parents. She even got less than, you remember what do they call him? The prank caller? The dude that was calling like McDonald's and Taco Bell?
Oh, yes.
She got less than that one girl that sued him, the one that I think worked at Taco Bell. She got she won $1 million suit.
Wait, the one, not Taco Bell. You talking about the one they made the movie about? It was McDonald's.
Yeah.
The one they made the movie about.
Whatever, she won like a 2.1 million. It was like a ridiculous amount of money. And she, like, yes, what happened to her was tragic. I mean, I have very mixed feelings about that. I don't know if we could actually do that one because people might be like, Brittany, you are cold.
And look, that one was on my list, but I was like, nah.
But yeah, they gave her. That's not enough money. I say all that to say. never mind. We ain't got anything. Because you talk about how traumatic it was to lose your son. Then you threw me in prison.
Yep.
I need 150 million. I need millions to even make me feel okay.
Yeah. That's why I say you can, but you can't put a price on it.
And then, I'm not, because baby, I should never have to work again. I'm not working ever again. The only thing I'm going to do is what she ends up doing is maybe like spread awareness or like help people.
Yeah.
Which is what she did. In 2011, Julie moved to Tennessee and opened a bed and breakfast, but that didn't work out. There were reports that she was applying for a master's degree in aromatherapy and has worked to spread awareness regarding wrongful convictions.
Final thoughts. I don't even know if I have any.
What I will say is beyond, if you're going to sit on the jury, beyond a reasonable doubt. I don't care how suspicious someone looks. I don't care if your gut is telling you that somebody probably did this. If you do not have enough evidence to say beyond any doubt this person did this, that person should not be in jail. That's what it is.
Yeah, I agree.
How they sit up there and just say, yeah, she did this. And she was distraught. Like, I don't even, like, there were, like, the clips that I saw. She didn't look like she was, like, cold or anything like that. She was like, this is devastating right now. I can't believe this is happening to me.
But then sometimes, you know, if people, that probably could have went against her too, because you know how when people are distraught, they get accused of like overacting or like they're accused of faking it.
This is why I hate people. Because you damned if you do, you damned if you don't.
Yeah.
Because if you sit up there and show no emotions, they're going to say, oh, she's a sociopath. She did not show any emotion. That show that I just watched, that documentary that I just watched, they were like, he showed no empathy for killing his dad. And they thought that that was strange.
So, yeah.
That's still not a basis to say, oh, she over, she acting, so she guilty. Nope. You can't do that. You don't know that.
Yeah, and everybody handles grief different.
That's true, too.
You can't go by, like, what she did or said, like, in that moment, because she's, like you said, she's distraught.
Yeah.
And then, on top of all of that, she feels guilty because she didn't lock the door, and that's how he got in.
Oh, yeah.
So, she's grieving, she's feeling guilty, and she, I mean, her son is gone now. That was probably all she had, too.
Yeah, because she was divorced. And you're talking about in a brutal way. It's not like he was sick and they prepared for it. Not even a car accident. You're talking like he died at the hands of a serial killer. Like, whoa.
Yeah, because, I mean, and he was just randomly killing kids. He wasn't, wasn't like he was stalking families, and he was just going around killing kids for no reason.
Welp. And then, if you find that episode, watch that episode.
Of what? I already forgot.
2020, right? Ain't that what I said?
Oh. I was like, episode for what?
Oh, yeah. That was not even talking to you. You can watch it, too.
Oh, I thought talking you were to talking the to listeners. Me.
My bad. No, I was talking to the folks at home.
Oh, yeah.
But, that's all, folks. Because I was about to say another one. But at least this one is solved. I loved I love me a good solved case, especially when the killer is like, oh, I did this.
Yeah, because I mean, he was already in prison. So, and then there was no way to link him to that.
No, just like the exonerated five, because that dude did not have to say, oh, this was me that did that.
Yeah, that's true. And then what were the odds of him and Corey being in the same prison and, you know, actually talking and him figuring it out?
More people need to do that, because you already there, you're gonna do your time regardless. Why are you holding on to what happened? Tell us what happened. Especially like, who was it, Jeffrey Dahmer was like, wanted to know what was wrong. If he was being genuine, he literally was like, I'm sick, there's something wrong with me, interview me because I want to know what's wrong with me. But that's it. That's all.
Please follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast, Twitter at Pod Strange World, and on Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and like the show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra strange, please write a review. Please and thank you.
Please. Yes, we would love to hear from you. What did you think of this week's episode? Also, if there's anything else in the world of strange or true crime cases that you would like us to cover, let us know. If you have any personal stories involving true crime or the supernatural, we would love to have you on the show and share them with our listeners. We are doing movie reviews of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre. So if you have any movies or documentaries and want to hear our uncensored, unsolicited opinions on them, you can email those submissions to itsastrangeworldafterall@gmail.com or DM us at any other social media platforms D mentioned. Even if you just want to say, hey there, we will be here.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of
It's a Strange World After All. And thank you, as always, for keeping it strange with us.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.